Drunk drivers killed more than 10,000 people in the United States last year. That's one person every 48 minutes. And now, technology that determines alcohol in someone's system, like breathalyzers and interlock devices in cars, are getting renewed attention. There's an ongoing bipartisan push in Congress for legislation that would require all new vehicles in the United States to have devices that pre-detect alcohol on drivers and stop them from getting on the road. And some states, like Oklahoma, have already adopted new laws that involve car breath tests to attempt to cut down on DUIs. But it's unclear whether these programs or car devices will actually make people safer. A recent New York Times investigation found that breath alcohol tests are regularly inaccurate, and judges in Massachusetts and New Jersey have invalidated tens of thousands of tests in the past year. Well, joining me now to unpack all this is Frederick Kunkel, a reporter at The Washington Post. Frederick, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure.
So we just mentioned how big the DUI problem in the country is. What's causing that? I mean, why? How did we get here? Is this pretty consistent over the years?
There's actually been a good amount of progress. Since 1980, the number of alcohol-related traffic deaths has actually been cut in half. And yet, as you mentioned, it's nearly 11,000 people a year. And I think a really kind of interesting stat to put that in perspective is if you look at battlefield casualties over the history of the Vietnam War, and you add it up from 1955 to 75, it amounted to 3,000 people a year. And that, of course, caused outrage. And people like Deborah Herzman, who used to be the head of the National Safety Council, have said it's kind of astounding that Americans are still willing to put up with this level of carnage, and particularly for something that is arguably very preventable, which would be alcohol-related deaths, drunk driving, DUIs.
We hear a lot about breathalyzers. How do they work exactly?
So basically, it's the easiest way to get a reading of someone's blood alcohol content. The best way would be a blood test, but it's obviously even more intrusive. But with a breathalyzer, you basically blow into a machine and it takes a reading of your breath, of how much alcohol is in your breath, and spits that reading out to a police officer either at the side of the road or at the station.
Now, these are, as you mentioned also, there's a New York Times investigation that showed that there are lots of errors associated with these alcohol breath tests. Judges in Massachusetts and New Jersey have thrown out 30,000 breath tests in the past year alone. Now these devices are making their ways into cars. How is that happening? Tell us a little bit about how effective those are.
Yeah, so basically the federal government for more than a decade now has been putting a lot of money into trying to find ways that would passively detect alcohol in people's systems before they drive and shut off the machine, shut off the vehicle, or prevent it from starting. And the idea would be all you have to do is sit down. The machine would either take a reading of your breath, or maybe when you push a start button, it would take a reading the way those instruments at the hospitals do, take a reading of your oxygen level in your bloodstream when the doctor puts a little cap over your finger. So that's the idea. The Time story was really pretty astounding and shocking in a lot of ways, if only because of the complacency of these forensic labs and the amount of secrecy that these companies that have these alcohol breath reading tests treated this technology, because the thrust of it is that it's not a bad idea. I mean, this is, the science is sound, but these machines often have bugs in them. They often are not calibrated properly. There was a scandal like that right here in the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., where they found that there had been mistakes made in how the machines were calibrated, and they had to throw out thousands of tests here.
And based on your own reporting, is putting the onus of alcohol testing on the driver effective in terms of curbing drunk driving, or are drivers finding a way around it?
Well, people do find ways to get around things. In fact, one of the guys who is, he's headed this consortium of automakers that's been also funded by the federal government and is working with the government to develop this passive technology, told me in an interview earlier this year that it's not uncommon that sometimes people use a child. I mean, it's at least happened where people have used their kid to try to start the car when they've had an interlock on the car. And we should mention that that happens. These are already in use, but in general, they're only used for people who've been arrested or convicted of a DUI. All 50 states now have a law that says once that's happened, you have to put an interlock on your vehicle, which means that it's like a breathalyzer that overrides the ignition system. You have to blow into this machine, and if you have any alcohol that goes over a preset level, that car is not going to start.
Now, there is a bipartisan push that would require these alcohol detectors in all new vehicles. Is that right? Tell us a little bit about that.
That's correct. And again, this has been something that's been going on for a long time. A lot of safety advocates have really pushing to get this kind of technology into cars. They see it as the equivalent of something like airbags. And just last month, two senators, Senators Rick Scott from Florida and Tom Udall from New Mexico, Senator Scott's a Republican, Senator Udall is a Democrat. They basically have submitted legislation that would move this process along. It sets basically a four-year timetable to put these this kind of technology into new American vehicles. It's given more money, and it's also going to try to set up road testing using some of the cars inside the massive federal fleet of vehicles.
Of course, people will have to pay fees to get into a program like what's in Oklahoma right now, which implemented a new DUI law that lets people take part in this program, that if they install devices into their cars and they go 180 days without a violation, they can erase their records. But you have to pay for getting into that program. And I'm wondering if that sets any type of barrier for those who can't afford to pay for it.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, too. There are some states that in their laws, they allow that to be taken into account. If a person is indigent, the state will actually help pay for, cover the cost of the machines. I suppose there are other people who feel that, you know, this is a really serious problem and a very dangerous problem. And folks are, you know, they can afford a car, they can afford to drink to excess. This is something that the owner should be on the folks to pay for these machines. And in general, that is the case. If you're ordered to have one in your car, you've got to put it in the car. It also does raise the question of the expense of these when they go into cars as standard technology. The hope is when the day comes, if and when the day comes, that these become part of the standard part of a car, they might add some cost to a car, as airbags once did.
Frederick Kunkel is a reporter at The Washington Post. Frederick, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.